Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is sponsored by Try Vegan, a vegan meal home delivery service that is nutritious and delicious and makes your life easier. Based out of New Jersey, they deliver throughout the Northeast. Check out more details on their website, tryveganmealprep.com. And you can get 25% off your first order with the promo code LITYOGA. So go vegan. Welcome to Friday with Friends. I have a new and wonderful friend on with me today. He is known as Abdul from Abdul's Cats on Instagram. I started following him after learning about his page, and it is absolutely fabulous. Every single day, he is one of the few accounts I actively search out because he shows himself with his foster kittens. And if you want a big hit of joy, please go follow his page. So I wanted to talk to him and he agreed. And I am the first podcast he's been on. I'm sure many more people will want to speak with him. He is like an angel on earth doing great work with his wonderful wife. They foster kittens and then he makes TikToks and Instagram videos showcasing these delightful little beings. Please enjoy our talk and follow him. Welcome, Abdul. I'm so glad to have you on today.
How you doing? I'm so glad to be on. Thanks for the invite.
Oh, you're so welcome. I can already tell you're such a gentle soul, even though we've just met. And I'm very happy that this is your first podcast. I'm sure many more people will want to podcast with you after this.
Yes, I appreciate it. Take it easy on me.
I will. No hard questions. I'll give everybody who's listening a little bit of background. On Instagram, I found Abdul on his Instagram page, which is Abdul and Cats. Is that it?
Abdul's Cats. Abdulscats.
Yes, Abdul's Cats. And so I just immediately fell in love with you and all you're doing. I'm a huge animal lover, cat lover. I have a dog too, but something about cats in particular I've always gravitated toward. And So can you tell us a little about your background? Have you always loved animals? Had you rescued animals? Was this at all in your background or was this something new in your adulthood?
Just crazy. It's not in my background at all. I never had any pets growing up. I was never really around any animals. It was kind of like a bad stigma on animals. Like with my family, it was like they're dirty, get hair everywhere, they're loud, there's a lot of work. So I never really had any growing up. But a couple years ago when I met my wife, she had cats. She was fostering cats. So that's kind of where I got introduced to it. And I don't know, I fell in love and they were just so sweet and so playful. And I don't know, I loved it.
I know, it's really hard not. I mean, I think that's part of it is, you know, I know people that have stigmas or some kind of preconception about cats. It's often what they learn from their family or something happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see like a mom who didn't like cats because maybe something happened or she was scared and then, you know, is really reactive or around cats and says, oh, you know, stay away. So then the child carries that on. And it's just, it's like you said, having the right moment. Like my husband didn't have animals either growing up. He was actually allergic to cats. And I had three cats when we met. And so it was kind of like, you're going to either really like the cats or we're not going to work out here.
Yeah. That's like one of the requirements.
Right. It's one of the requirements. And he loves cats now. He loves them so much. And I do think it's just like having the opportunity to see that they are these beautiful creatures who bring so much joy and love into our houses and into our hearts.
Definitely. And I was lucky to get the opportunity because if I didn't, I probably would have kept that stigma and passed it down to my kids and kept the trend going on.
Yay. What's your wife's name?
Shimyan. It's the name you saw when I
Shimyan. Well, good for, yes, way to go. Go mom. Because like the lovingness. So she was already fostering. So you at that point, she was fostering or did you own any or did she have any of her own?
She just started fostering a couple months before we met. She never had any pets either, but she always wanted pets growing up, and her parents didn't let her. So as soon as she moved out, she jumped right into it.
Oh, I love it. So tell us a little bit about fostering, because on your page, it's just so joyful to see. You get mostly kittens, and are you getting them at a stage where they need some like more socialization before they're ready for adoption? How does it work?
Yes. I get mostly kittens. I work with a corporation called DC Kitties and Humane Rescue. It's two foster places that I usually work with. And they usually send like feral cats who don't have a home. They found in the street. They've been harmed at kill shelters. Mm. And that's mainly it. And I just bring them in from there.
And how many, do you have a limit of how many you have at one time? Or are you just kind of like, I'll take whatever?
Well, I have a limit, but my wife don't. So we kind of compromise.
She rolls, right?
If it was up to her, she will have 10, 20 different. So I do, so our limit, our compromise is like four kittens at a time. And we have a resident cat as well.
Okay, you have a resident cat. How does your resident cat must be super cool to adjust to all the ins and outs of different of the transient animals coming?
Definitely, because our resident cat, her name is Bambi. She was actually our first cat we ever fostered. Mm. And we fell in love with her and we adopted her. It's called like a foster fail.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of those. Uh-huh.
So she's a loner. She's an introvert. So it takes her, a while to get used to all the fosters. But after a couple of weeks, she take them under her wing and show them the ropes.
So I know you have a primary job that you work 8 to 5 and then you come home and tell us a little bit about what is involved in fostering. Cause it does seem like, you see people fostering puppies or kittens and, I think they both have some, not challenges, but it is not just like you just walk in and they're just there. You, what are some of the things that you're doing with them as this like secondary job of yours?
Well, I guess the biggest thing is feeding them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know much about kittens. Kittens eat 24/7. Whenever their bowl's full, you have to fill it back up. So it can become pricey. You have to deal with if traumas they had, if they had any injuries, you have to watch out for that. If they're malnourished, if they're real frail, you have to watch out for that. And they might be on a different feeding schedule. You might have to feed with the tube. If they have ticks, you have to figure that out.
Wow. Yeah. That's right, because they're coming from the outdoors. They've been exposed to all of that.
Yeah, and a lot of them have been through, have a lot of trauma. So they might be frightened. They might stay under the bed all day. So you have to earn their trust and just make them feel relaxed in their home.
Yeah, so I think this is really important for people to realize because we do need more people fostering. I think it is a job and it is a very noble job because it's taking in animals and loving them with the absolute intent of adopting them out. Yes, sometimes there is a fail, but it wouldn't work very well. Like my mom does this a lot and she's like, I wouldn't have room for others to come in if I just adopted all of the ones that I fall in love with. So there is a real, it's so selfless. But it is, socializing is super important because if they're not socialized, if they haven't learned trust, if they haven't gotten past some of those traumatic experiences or fear, then they're not going to be very adoptable. People aren't going to be drawn to them. Mm-hmm. And so that's really an important part. Can you talk about any animal in particular that came in with a lot of stuff that you had to work on and what you did in particular that worked? And it ended up to be a wonderful story, which I'm sure you have many of those, but
yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been doing it for over a year now. And so I had over like 18 to 20 cats that I helped find new homes. So pardon me, I can't remember all their names.
No, you don't have to.
But I believe it was our third kitten we fostered. She was terrified. She stayed under the bed 24/7. I had to feed her under the bed. Mm. It took about a month and a half for her to be comfortable with me, who she was with every day. And I learned, they say you can build trust while they're eating. You rub them, pet them while they're eating, and eventually, so that kind of worked over time.
And did you just learn this, or have you been doing some research? Do you have other people that you talk to about this? I know there's a lot of great ones on social media, but have you bonded with anyone over these kind of techniques that you need?
I learned a lot from my wife and a lot of research. And with the corporation we work with, we email in constantly. Like, they're checking in every week. How are the cats doing? You should do this. You should do that. Giving me suggestions.
So this particular one eventually trusted you, and then you were able to adopt him or her out?
Yes.
And do you stay in touch with some of your previous fosters?
Yes, most of them, we're emailing, like, they having questions like, what food do they like? What toys should we get them? They updating, sending pictures.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's crazy seeing them, like, from when they're 3 weeks to 8 months, they're, like, so grown and on their own now.
Proud daddy. That's incredible. So do you imagine you're going to do this for a while? Like, what do you and your wife want to do with this? Do you have any grand plans, or do you want to just keep it at fostering at your own house?
Yeah, right now we're just going to continue fostering. I don't think we have any like deadline. Mm-hmm. Probably just foster. Our plan right now is just foster forever.
I love that. I love that. And that is serving, again, such a huge need. And for people like who don't feel like they can volunteer at a shelter, and maybe even feel like they can't adopt an animal permanently, this is a really nice way of helping out the kind of the chain of finding a permanent home, because we know there's so many animals, and in particular, there's always a kitten season, it seems, you know, kittens.
Yes.
And I'm sure in a city like DC, there's a lot of stray and feral cats. And getting as many of them off the streets, because that type of life is really hard. Their lifespan is very short. There's a lot of dangers for cats being outside without, you know, a home. They face dogs and poison and, you know, humans and cars, and there's just a lot, and other, you know, there could be other predators as well. So this is a really important thing. Do you know, and from this last year and a half of COVID, how have the fostering networks been? Have more people fostered in this past, you know, because people are home more, or is there still a huge need for fosters?
Yes, there's still a huge need for fosterings, but I noticed during the pandemic that a lot of kids were gone. A lot of shelters were less full as usual. I knew a lot of people who just started fostering, just picked it up because they were just at home or just for mental health reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the mental health of having an animal, maybe even a personal, mm-hmm. like how has it changed for you having your own Bambi, but also these fosters? Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what that does for your mental health?
Well, for me personally, the kittens definitely help with my anxiety. Mm-hmm. And, I always had anxiety issues like in high school, but I realized when I first started fostering how more calm I was, how more relaxed, how more I was at peace. And I just was in a way better space when I had all the kittens around. If I was lonely, they would come around. It felt like they can feel how I'm feeling. If I had a bad day at work, they're coming around there. They would just want to cuddle all the time. And they just put me in a way better place.
Oh, I love that. And we know that to be true. And, you know, mm-hmm. research has shown that people that have animals in their lives live longer, have much, you know, their nervous system is better. And I love that you brought up anxiety, because I think that's such like a buzzword. I mean, so many people are experiencing heightened levels of anxiety. There's so much uncertainty in the world. And to have some little furry creature next to you who senses that and can ground you and calm you down, that is incredibly powerful. That's more potent than any pill could ever be. Not that pills are, you know, like I know pills help too, but yeah. Like really seriously to, for people out there, get like, go and adopt an animal, foster an animal. It is, I love that you mentioned that about anxiety, because
I was reading something. It was saying how they're purring, mm-hmm. their purring could help cancer. Mm. Like having them purr on you. To reduce the risk of cancer, which I thought was amazing.
Amazing. It probably does something, the vibration. You know, vibration is a very healing element of just well-being that is that is just now, I think, probably being more and more understood. So there is something. I know when my cat gets on me and just sits right on my heart and is purring, there is like, and I just sit there at night and I'm like, I love you, I love you. And I keep saying that. My husband's like, I love you too, even though he knows I'm talking to my cat. But there's something about like, I need to tell him how much I love him, because he's just sitting there and giving me so much with this grounding and with this purring right on my heart. It's indescribable form of love.
Definitely. Cause I know I'm bringing these kittens in and I'm finding them homes, but I feel like they're helping me more than I'm helping them.
Yeah.
Like I feel like it's definitely a partnership.
A win-win. I love it. Yes. So let's talk a little bit about social media, because I know, I can imagine how much social media has helped you get people aware of fostering, and even probably helped with adopting some kittens. How did you get into social media?
So social media, when we first started fostering, my wife would take pictures of me playing with the kittens, running around, chasing them. They're chasing me. So we had all these nice, beautiful, candid pictures in our phone. And we was like, let's just post them. Let's make an Instagram account, see what happens. And after our first month, people loved it. People loved the photos. Dodo reached out.
Yeah.
And they wanted to do an interview with me. And after ever since that interview, like my Instagram took off.
That's big. I mean, the Dodo account. I mean, if you get on that, you know you're successful. I don't know if maybe that's how I found you, because I follow Dodo every single day, because their stories are so, talk about uplifting. Like anything you want, if you just want to feel good, it's always about, it seems to be almost all dedicated to animals and animal rescue. So maybe I found you there, but I imagine that was a huge win for you. What did, when they contact you, what does that involve? Do you submit something? Do they interview you? Mm-hmm.
It's funny, because like I told you, I wasn't really around any animals. So I didn't even know who Dodo was. I'm like telling my wife, like, Dodo, some people call Dodo, want to do an interview. And she's like, she's going crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Like they get millions of views. Yeah. I mean, they're just
I didn't know how big they were.
Oh, wow.
So I did an interview and, time goes on, month goes on. I didn't really hear anything. They say they're going to post it when they post it. So I wasn't. And we just started getting flooded of followers and messages. And it just got real big.
That's amazing. Well, you're the type of person that people should be following on social media, because there's a lot of, I mean, there's fun stuff on social media, but I try and go on and really, that's why I reached out to you. I want to really spotlight people who are doing something meaningful and just a great example of how all of us can contribute to alleviate suffering. And like you said, it's a win-win. Like this is a great way to lend a hand, because it benefits the person like yourself. You said it benefited you, and then you're helping every kitten is an individual being, and each one of them you're helping, and that's incredible.
And that's what I love too. Every kitten we ever foster have their own personality. They're their own person. They meow different. They sleep at different times. One might be playful. One might be a biter. They're their own person, and I love that.
I do too. I love it. I've had a lot of cats over the years, and each one, man, it's like That's why when people are very, you know, again, if they have some kind of bias against cats and they have this general like, oh, they're so aloof, oh, they do this. I'm like, you just haven't maybe met the cat that's going to draw you in, but that cat's mm-hmm. out there because they all have, just like humans. Some mm-hmm. humans are, you know, much more warm and fuzzy and just extroverted, and some are well worth getting to know, but it takes a while. And mm-hmm. Those I've had all kinds of those before, and it is really fun because you approach them differently and how you handle them and how you want to snuggle with them. And you also have respect. Like, this one doesn't really want to get up on my lap, so I'm going to go down there. You know, it's like you figure out just like you would with the human. So I think it also makes us better mm-hmm. humans because we always kind of have these, I think it's very, what's the word? I guess it's, we want the animals to do what we want them to do. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's very entitled. And it's, there's a wonderful thing about like actually engaging with an animal on their terms too, you know, mm-hmm. and I think it teaches us to be better humans. So what has been like some of the best things about social media, and have you had any negative experiences?
The best things, just heightening awareness, letting people know that we need more fosters, getting the kittens who need to get adopted more exposure. We always get messages, oh, I want to adopt this cat. I will fly out. People come all over the world to come get adopted from California, from New York, from North Carolina. People drive all the way up.
Oh, I love it.
I met people at airports, at train stations. So that's been a great thing. Negative things, not really too much negative. I might, if I'm making a playful video and someone might say, oh, don't do that to the cat, or that's mean, or the cat doesn't like that. But other than that.
Right. Those are just know-it-alls. I know there's always some out there, and maybe they're well-meaning, but they like to tell you what you should be doing. And I
you
think that
beat them mad or
yeah.
That's a
we should know, and this is really good. When you see somebody who is doing really good work like this, they've done their due diligence, like Abdul has done, like finding out what is the best food. And also you have these shelters and these professionals for contact. So it's not like you're just picking animals off the street and you know, mm-hmm. giving them whatever you think is right. Like this is a, like you said, it is a job. It is an avocation. Yes. And there's a lot of thought that goes into it. I wouldn't have assumed many people would, but you know, every once in a while, social media is an easy place to do it. Some people will want to come and tell you what you should be doing better.
So we do sometimes get like little trolls or comments, but
yeah,
majority,
well, the
95%
more popular, yeah,
is positive.
Oh, that's great, and that always outweighs everything, right? So, where can people find out more? What are some last little nuggets you would like to impart in terms of the importance of, you know, fostering animals, spaying and neutering? Because you know that we do have kittens are beautiful, puppies are beautiful. We have too many, unfortunately, and we can say that because when they are at a kill shelter, like you're talking about. A kill shelter is different, and people listen from all over the world. So this is what it is in America. I don't know what it is in other countries, but here we have shelters that are kill shelters. It's just a very blunt term because they only have a certain amount of space, and if an animal becomes not adoptable, really good kill shelters will do everything they can to adopt animals that are adoptable, meaning they're socialized, they don't have any major illness or anything, but at the end of the day, they still have kind of an expiration date of how long they can stay there. And it's really sad to think about. But this is happening because the animals, there is an overpopulation. And then people are buying animals, you know, pedigreed animals, when they have all these, you know, wonderful street animals that are coming in, or forever they are, they need homes. So yeah, can you tell us a little bit about what you have learned and what you'd like to let other people know about from the inside?
Well, the crazy thing is our first foster, Bambi, who we, our foster fell, who we adopted, she was from a kill shelter. So we got an email, a long 3-page email, and she was at a kill shelter in North Carolina and she really needs help. So even now we had her, she's almost 2 years old. She's still traumatized. She still has anxiety. She's still terrified and still not really trusting. So yeah, it's terrible. And I was reading, it was saying over there's shelters get cats, over a million cats a year in the U.S. And over thousands of them, I forgot the number, I think it's like 500,000 of them are euthanized.
Yeah, I don't think people realize how many are euthanized because there's no room for them.
Yeah, so just thinking about 500,000 puppies, cats, dogs, kittens are being euthanized is just mind-blowing to me.
It really is. And that's why a foster is such a great answer, you know, because the reason why they're being killed is there's not enough space for new ones coming in. Mm-hmm. And there's so many incredible organizations, whether it's, you know, we've adopted my puppy who's right over here, who's 6 and a half, but he came from Georgia. And it's just that there's more altered animals down there who are having more kids who are having their own kids. And the shelters down there are maxed out. So they have like all these wonderful different groups up in the Northeast who are bringing them up here because there's more shelters up here. There's more fostering up here. And so he came from there and so fostering is a great way to at least, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a system that needs even more attention. And that is like how important it is to spay and neuter animals so that they don't continue. Because one cat can have, I forget the statistic, but it's essentially one cat can have or be responsible for 72 cats within like 18 months. Like if my mom did these lecture, like she would go to the mall when I was a kid and I won't even tell you how old I am, but I would go with her and she had this poster and it just like was imprinted and it was just saying it was all about spaying and neutering. And it was like one cat. So it was something like the mathematics where if that cat had say 8 kittens. Well, those kittens can get pregnant within about 7 months. Then they all have kittens. And then it's just like, so it's like how one cat within an 18-month cycle can really be responsible for this many, you know, and that's why if this cat had been spayed, then
definitely
that wouldn't have happened. And so, again, we love our kittens, but we don't want to have so many that we can't even care for them.
Mm-hmm. So now I'm trying to, like that stigma I was telling you about that I had growing up, I'm trying to change that in my family now, and I have my sister fosters now. Now, my best friend foster, my mom, she was talking about she want a cat now. So,
oh, that's amazing. I love that. That's so heartwarming. And isn't that incredible to be able to be an example that really, again, not only is benefiting the animals, but has benefited all these family members because they probably have fallen in love with other cats and they never would have looked at a cat in that way if they hadn't had that opportunity. So you're just go ahead.
And no, just with all the mental health issues that's going on now, like animals are perfect for that, perfect in helping out.
I love that. So everybody should go out and foster or adopt. So if people are now going to follow you on your Instagram, even more people, I hope, and they see you're like playing with these kittens, what is the best way to contact you to then adopt the kittens that you are showcasing on your Instagram page?
They can direct message me on Instagram or TikTok. They could email me. My email is on Instagram and TikTok as well. Usually they can follow the shelters who I foster from, because they post all the information, the pictures of the cats. And the process is a real quick process. It's a virtual interview. You see the cat. You see me playing with the cat. Before the pandemic, it was a home visit. Mm-hmm. So now kind of things kind of changed.
I know. Changes people, things.
When I first started, people would come over my house. And like sometimes they bring the whole family, mom, dad, all their kids, they'll come over and they're playing with the cat and see if they like it or not. So it's a quick process. You do a 35 minute virtual interview, see the cat, you see me playing with it, ask any questions. Then you email me if you are interested.
I love it. All right, everybody, make sure you check them out. So tell us about where they can find you, your social media page, TikTok. What are they all called? The same thing?
Yes, my socials are the same. I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Abdul's Cats. ABDULSCATS.
Amazing. Well, it was such a pleasure to meet you. I have admired your work. I love your videos. And another thing I'll add, and not only are you benefiting from the kittens and they're benefiting, but you're benefiting others, because when I see those, there is like a little hit of joy, you know? And so that's the other thing, another reason to follow Abdu's cats. Say you can't foster, but just follow for the joy. It is so wonderful. You're very creative.
Thank you. And that also brightens my day when I get messages and comments to say, I love your video. You just made my day. Or I lost my cat a year ago. You make me feel better. Just all those messages and stories, they warm my heart.
It is really wonderful. And that's what I love. That's one reason I think social media is so positive, is it can really bring people together, but also bring people happiness. And you are truly doing that. So thank you from my heart to yours. And I hope to meet you in person.
Oh, definitely.
All right. For everybody listening out there, go check out Abdul. Go maybe even become a foster yourself, and let's all do good in the world. And as always, I'm pulling for you.